Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How are you all today? So, those of you who are attending the Friday meditation class feels almost like in close succession. And especially if you come for the temple tour yesterday, if you go for the temple tour yesterday, then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And if you even go for the walk in the afternoon yesterday, oh, very heavy involvement. But sometimes you have to, also can look at it another way. There are many other aspects of our life that we are very heavily involved. But to what end? In the past 12 to 13 years since I've been back from US, I've had different groups of students who are involved to different degrees. Some of them are involved very heavily, attending at the peak. There were some students who attend about 4 to 5 classes a week. Sometimes my schedule would have like 6 to 7 classes in a week, and they attend up to 5 classes. Like any class that they can think of that I am conducting, they, hey, you are here also. You're here also. If you are, don't be mistaken. By saying this, I'm not saying that you must do this, or that if you don't do this, then there's a problem. Not difficult to do this, actually. You just need to have time. But you also, besides time, you also need to have interest. And if you have time and you have interest, you also need to teachings. If you have these three things, then it's very easy. Otherwise, it's very difficult. But still, I say that it's not difficult for a short while. So some of them did this for about 3 to 6 months, some even 1 or 2 years. But to have continual interest and continual availability of time, and to have continual connection with the teachings, not so easy. So, today is about rebirth. Let's see, anybody new on my left? I think all are, nobody new on my left. How about on my right? Rosie. Good to see you.
I'm not new.
Yeah, you are not new, but you MIA for a while. How are you? Okay. Ah, Hua Yanjing. Hua Yanjing. Awatam Saka Sutra. So, chanting it. Did you finish it? Did you all finish it? How long was it? One day. How long? How long is the? 3 weeks. You attended the 3 weeks. She attended the 2 weeks. 3 weeks. 八十 is the 八十华严. Is it the 八十华严? Okay. Yeah, so they call it 八十华严. So it's actually 八十 or 八十一卷. So did you go? Didn't go. During Sui Lu, we have 4 venerables. Each of us cover 20 chapters, 20 fascicles. We just read. morning and afternoon, about 8 to 5 or 6. We just read. We are only given 5 to 6 days, not 2-3 weeks. Yeah. So do you remember what you read, what you chanted? The front part of the Avatamsaka Sutra, there's a lot of listing of all the different individuals who are present, the practices they did, several chapters, almost how many chen, all about that. Anyway, good, sadhu. Let's see, who else is here for the first time? Are they here for the first time? Looks like it. Tell us your name and Lin.
Yes.
How do you spell that?
D-E-A-N.
D-E-A-N, Din. Ah. So how did you end up here?
I volunteered
myself to come here. Well done. Oh, give him a round of applause. And who is next to you? Tell us your name.
I'm Clarice.
Clarice. Yeah. How do you spell that?
C-L-A-R-I-S.
Clarice, okay. And did you also volunteer yourself?
No, I got asked.
So one volunteered, one got asked. Who asked you?
Your mother.
Your mother. Oh, I see. Welcome, welcome. So, it's nice to see the whole family here. Yeah. Your father attended before, huh? Yeah. So, today's topic is on rebirth. Yeah, Buddhism and rebirth. This is actually a very... Oh wait, we have another person who quietly came in. Have you introduced yourself before? You have attended retreats before, but I think SGC haven't shared before, huh? Tell us your name. Tell them your name.
My name is Shi Ying.
And how did you end up here?
By chance.
By chance. Shi Ying usually appear in retreats, huh? Yeah, usually come for retreats. Yeah. Welcome, good to see you here. Welcome. So the topic of rebirth is a very big one. Big in the sense that there are so many aspects of it. Yeah. So we can go into the general concept of what rebirth is. We can also go into the mechanism. Yeah, as described by the Buddha on how rebirth takes place, yeah, what drives us around in samsara. We can also go into the different kinds of rebirth, the causes for the different kinds of rebirth, yeah, what kind of acts, what kind of practices lead to what kind of rebirth. We can further look at whether rebirth itself is compatible with what we experience on a day-to-day life. Yeah? Compatible in a sense, does it gel with what we experience? Yeah. We can also further look at rebirth in the larger scheme of things among the different religion. Yeah? So there are so many different aspects to look at rebirth. But we only have 43 minutes left. Yeah. My co-teachers are going out. The two of them are my co-teachers. Just now, did y'all hear their instructions? when you all were meditating, did you all listen to the instructions? Oh, you all missed out a chance. Yeah. Did you all hear them at all? I'm sure you all heard, right? So when you all hear them playing, did you all feel disturbed? Sure not. Yeah, if you felt disturbed, that's also normal. Yeah, because when we come for a religious class or a group cultivation, our expectation is it is free from any noise or any sound. Yeah, but this is the nature of life, you know. So that aside, later on when they come back, if needed, maybe one of you can accompany them to play, huh? Yeah. Otherwise, they may come and ask for helpers to play. Yeah. So rebirth. Do you all know that in Buddhist teaching, there is rebirth? Huh? Any of you unfamiliar with that? Huh? How come I see the two of you pulling each other's hand? What is rebirth? Can someone share with reincarnation? So that is another question. Is reincarnation the same as rebirth? Yeah. If they are not the same, what is the difference? Is it just a difference in words? Strictly speaking, they are actually different. But for most people, the two words, the two expressions are used interchangeably. Yeah. If you talk to your friends or your colleagues, and you try to explain to them rebirth and reincarnation, you must make sure that your whole afternoon is free. It is not that you are not good in explanation, yeah, but there are a lot of subtleties in between, and most of the time, the truth is, your friend do not want to go into such detail with you. Yeah. Before I continue, those sitting at the side, you can turn your seat, so that you don't face Sifu like that. And after the afternoon, you have stiff neck. So, first of all, what is the difference between rebirth and reincarnation? In Buddhism, we usually use the term rebirth. Yeah. Some of the earlier translations may also use reincarnation. We choose to make a slight distinction here because technically, it is not that there's something from this life that get incarnated in the new life. To incarnate or to reincarnate, it means to come into flesh in that sense. So this is tied to the notion of a soul or a permanent self, yeah, where this body, yeah, is just a material vessel, and then there is an incorporeal being, yeah, a non-physical being, essence, that enters into this physical being. Yeah. As far as I understand these two terms, that description is more reincarnation. The truth is, most Buddhists also think that, you know, this is what the Buddha taught. Yeah, that there's some essence, some soul that go and take rebirth and then enter into the body. If we look at some of the teachings given by some teachers, they even describe in a very similar way that this body is just a vessel. Yeah, our essence, or some would say our consciousness, then enter the body, and then so and so forth. Yeah. But in Buddhism, rebirth is less that. Yeah. It is in a way called rebirth because it is the arising of a consciousness. yeah, in the new life. Yeah, not so much that the past consciousness, you know, a static thing, come over and enter into it. Yeah. There are those who even pick on the word rebirth and say technically it's not rebirth also. Yeah. Because for the new life, it is a completely new birth. Yeah. Technically, this life, yeah, is born due to conditions, but it's not a rebirth of the past entity. Yeah. So, question is, so what does that mean, you know? Yeah. First and foremost, how many of you can remember your past life? Anyone? No, no. If any of you can remember, then it'll be interesting. This we'll have to stay back for another 1 hour or two. Most of us cannot. So, how about when we die? How many of you think that you will be able to know that process and go into the next life? Or put it another way, how many of you know for a fact that you will take rebirth? Oh, you're so confident, huh? I say. You also... What makes you all so confident that you will take rebirth? I'm not saying you are wrong, yeah, but you notice that the rest are like, and then some of you are like, you're confident, yes, you will take rebirth. Okay, maybe I should ask the next question. How many of you don't think you will there's rebirth? How many of you are not sure? This is a standard Singaporean. Yeah, but if you are not sure, that's actually valid as well, huh? Yeah. But why are you all so sure? So you all believe that you will be reborn. In Buddhism, for most people, how about you? Why are you so sure that you'll be reborn? You feel that you need another chance. So it seemed to imply that you're not satisfied with the way your life turned out so far. Be given a second chance, yes. So,
I had this question.
And what was that place like?
We are not going to take an hour to
So you have 1 minute.
It's a very nice feeling, pleasant place. It's a pleasant place.
Okay.
Lots of white light. Very white. But it's not glaring in your eye.
Okay.
You don't see people there, but you feel that there's many people there.
Okay. So in the East, there's usually an acceptance of the concept of rebirth, or the teaching of rebirth, belief of rebirth. For the West, it is not so much a cultural thing, but yet there are a lot of cases of people with near-death experience. I don't say that yours is near-death, but there are those who undergo operations or experience some difficulties in their health, and then they experience somehow they experience similar things. Yeah. Some are similar to what you described, others maybe a bit different. Yeah. So as a result, there are many people through their various experiences start to have a belief that there should be an afterlife. Yeah. In Buddhism, we don't call it we don't really call it afterlife. If you look at the sutta, the Buddha often described in the other world. Yeah, that's the phrase that was used. Yeah, and it refers to being reborn again, usually. Yeah. Have no direct recollection, yeah, or direct experience of rebirth, or at least we cannot remember the process. So, how should we look at this teaching? Yeah. There's this sutta called the Siha Sutta. So, there's this person who was a general in the Buddha's time. His name is Siha, which literally means lion. Yeah. So he's General Siha. And so there was this conversation between the Buddha and him. And he asked the Buddha, what are the benefits of doing giving? Yeah. What are the benefits of doing giving? So the Buddha listed out four or five benefits, yeah, of being generous, yeah. And the first few were things like, if a person is generous, then the person can be happy, the person can have a good reputation, the person can have company of friends, and so on. But the last one was that upon taking rebirth, the person can experience a pleasant rebirth. So then this General Siha said, of the first four, he knows through his own experience that it is true. That if a person is generous, is giving, then you can have all these benefits. But of the fifth one, yeah, which is about rebirth, he says, I take it on conviction. I take it on conviction. Meaning, because the Buddha said so, he chose to believe in it. Yeah, because he has confidence in the Buddha. Yeah. So even in the Buddha's time, not everybody simply know about past life and future life. Yeah. And so from this sutta, we can in a way say that is a way for us to look at rebirth. Yeah. That while most of us cannot have direct experience of it yet, we can take it on conviction. Yeah, meaning that for now, yeah, we assume that, okay, if it's true, then how should we live our life? Yeah. In Buddhism, the teaching of rebirth also covers the different realms that we can be reborn in. Yeah. Earlier, I also mentioned about the mechanism. Yeah, how do we take rebirth? How many of you know about the different realms? What are the different realms of existence? What are the different realms? Just name one.
Yeah.
Heavenly realm. You raise your hand, right?
Hungry ghost.
Heavenly hungry ghost.
Animal
realm. Who else? Hell. Heavenly hungry ghost, animal, and then hell, and then human, and lastly Asura. So we have the six realms. For a while I thought nobody is going to mention human. Yeah, either think about heavenly or else all the scary one. Yeah. So of these six, there are two that is considerably better off. Yeah. We have the human and the heavenly realm. Yeah. The Asura realm is a bit trickier. Yeah. Because while they have merits, but the temperament, due to their temperament, they suffer also. Yeah. So How many of you would like to be reborn as a heavenly being in future? Heavenly being? The benefits of heavenly rebirth is you don't have to study in that life. Yeah. Don't have to study. And no NS. No NS. Yeah. Besides that, you don't have to work also. Yeah. Lodging is automatically provided. But how good the lodging depends on your merit. Yeah. You cannot work harder to improve it during that life. Not directly anyway. Food is readily available. Yeah. If you are in the sensual heavenly realm, you just think of whatever food you want, tung, it'll come up. Yeah. So pretty cool. Slightly better than now. Yeah. Because now you think of some food, you just order Deliveroo, Grab food, you can get also. Yeah. What else? The lifespan is very long. Very long lifespan. We're talking about like hundreds and thousands of years. And each year in those world is equivalent to like minimally 50 years human minimally. So in some cases, the 1 year or 1 day, sorry, 1 day over there is equivalent to 50 years here. Sometimes 1 day there is equivalent to like 100 years or 1,000 years. So it becomes astronomical. Oh yeah, you don't grow old also. Yeah, when you appear as it is. Yeah, you don't grow old. There's no mention about heavenly beings becoming fat. Yeah, so there's only description that they are all very, very nice, very attractive, very beautiful. Male, in the sensual desire heavenly realm, there's male and female. In the form and formless, there's no gender. Yeah, no more gender. And so if you are in the sensual desire realm, if you are born as a female, you are devata, oh, you are super beautiful. Better than Miss Universe, whatever. Yeah. If you are male, oh, also very steady. So don't grow old, don't have to work. What else? What else do you all want? A long life somehow. The downside is your death is a long process. Yeah, and in the process of dying, the vibrance of your physical feature will start to fade. In the heavenly realm, you don't smell. Yeah. No bad smell. But as your lifespan comes to an end, towards the end, you start to have smell. You start to feel uneasy in your seat, in your place. Yeah. And other heavenly beings start to shun you. Yeah, they see that you are fading off already. Then they, bye-bye. Yeah. And in some suttas, it describes the heavenly beings being able to see their future rebirth. The unfortunate problem with heavenly rebirth is when you are reborn there, it is like a one-time cash-out. One time you cash out the whole chunk of wholesome karma. Yeah. And so for many of them, after that long life of enjoyment, following that, it is the ripening of unwholesome karma. So some of them see their future rebirth in the animal realm. Some of them see their future rebirth in the hungry ghost realm, in different realms of suffering. Yeah. Of course, not all of them. Okay, not all of them. So their death is frightening, because they see that they're going to suffer. A fortunate thing is that for some of them, when they see that, then they look around to ask for help. Unlike us, our death can be quite quick. Their death is a few hundred years. Yeah, so they have time to prepare. Yeah. So in the sutta, it describes some of them seeking the Buddha's help. Yeah. Went to see the Buddha and asked for help. So the Buddha advised them to practice the four foundations of mindfulness. Teach them how to meditate, in other words. Yeah. And because of that urgency, they practice meditation. Yeah. And they practice very hard, such that upon death, they get reborn in an even higher realm, instead of being reborn in the lower realm. Yeah. In a way, we can use that and apply to our life. But for human beings, most of us don't know when we will die. Yeah. Any of you know that you are going to take rebirth soon? You wake up in the morning and then you see in your vision, 3 days left. Can you imagine that? Yeah. Or if you get a notification in your mind, when you wake up, you just have this feeling, you have only 7 days left. What would you do? Yeah. If you have 7 days left, would you come for SGC? Yeah. Yes. Nothing. You will do nothing. You will what? Enjoy your life. So for 7 days, just enjoy. Chiong. Have fun. Yeah. You just keep playing games. Play until you fall asleep. Then wake up, continue playing. Travel. Wait. Just because a person is going to die doesn't mean they will have money to travel, you know. You know, sometimes we watch movies, right, and then the poor kid will have this wish, and then everybody come together and then send this person to the Disneyland. But in real life, don't always happen, you know. Yeah. Most people would hope that if you know you have only 7 days left or 3 months left, most people would perhaps, I don't know, think about enjoying themselves. I think a lot of people will think about spending time with their loved ones. How many of you would think about going for retreats? Wow, I feel so heartened. We'll see. Tuo Ping, please help me take note. Yeah. Sometimes it's good to do this reflection, you know. Otherwise, it comes as a surprise. But if you really think about it, actually, human beings are very interesting. We have been seeing people come and go, throughout our whole life. And now with internet and with all the historical records, we know that so far nobody survived it. This is a game that nobody survived. I saw someone make this statement recently. This is a game where nobody come out alive. So we shouldn't be surprised if when it happens, isn't it? Yeah. I don't wish for any of you to have serious illnesses or cancer. But I sometimes wonder to myself, what if I get cancer? You know what I mean? What if I get cancer? I mean, what if Sifu get cancer? What would you all think? I know some people would think, wow, Sifu never cultivate properly. But actually, illnesses happens, and illnesses happens. To me, what people think about it is not so important. But by that time, if you get cancer, why do you care what people think, you know? Yeah. So I'm more interested in what would I do? And as I think about it a few times, I realize that actually it may give me more reason to be really serious about my practice, you know. Yeah. And in a way, we all have cancer, you know. It's called death. Life and death. Our life comes with a small little footnote. and it says you will die. Yeah, our life comes with death. It, you know, it doesn't, no such thing as you are born then never die. Yeah, so if you were to imagine every quarter, you imagine you have one quarter left. Yeah. If you have one quarter left, how do you want to spend this time? Just now we talked about heavenly rebirth. There are a lot of different types. But if we consider, besides heavenly rebirth, how about human rebirth? What are the causes? What are the things you need to do? Yeah, so take note of this. There's this phrase called 五戒十善. Yeah, so the five precepts, the 10 wholesome deeds. This is the prerequisite for rebirth in the as a human being or in the heavenly realm. Depending on the degree of your practice, then you may be reborn as a human, or if it's very refined, then as a heavenly being. Yeah, so the five precepts we recite every week. Yeah, don't think, only five, you know. Yeah. Abstaining from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, lying, and abstaining from alcohol. Yeah, these are very fundamental practices. If we look at the 10 wholesome deeds, we have gone through a few times before. Yeah. Three bodily, four verbal, and three mental. The first three, abstaining from killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct. The four verbal, abstaining from lying, harsh speech, divisive speech, and idle chatter. And the last three, mental. Yeah, it's not greed, hatred, delusion. Sometimes we may get confused. It is the mental activity that arises from these three. Yeah, or are linked to these three. So the first one, linked to greed, is covetousness. Yeah, that means to covet, to when you see someone having something, and then you desire to go and through unscrupulous means to go and get it. Case in point, let's say now we look at Zhou Ping with his Dell laptop, then we think, wow, so nice, so nice. And then we work hard, save, you know, and then we go and buy one. That is different from thinking, wow, Zhou Ping has one. I want his laptop. This is different. Wanting to buy a similar one versus wanting that particular laptop. Coveting after people's things is in particular to that. Because that would then lead to stealing. If you want something similar and you are willing to pay for it, go and buy, that's called buying, not stealing. Yeah. If you instead decide to have it but not through proper means, then you may end up stealing also. Yeah. So it is this subtlety in the difference in mindset. The second one is not anger, but its link is derived from anger, arise from anger. When anger reaches a certain point, you are so unhappy with the person that you hope that the person comes to harm. Yeah? Ill will. Yeah? Harmfulness. From ill will, hoping that the person has harm, up to you're not satisfied that just having this thought. Yeah? Keep having this thought, wow, this person, hope this person kena or this or that. But never happened. So you decided, let me go and do something to make it happen. Yeah, you entertain this kind of thoughts of harmfulness, of how to sabo this person, make this person lose business, or make this person embarrassed, whatever. Yeah. So second category. Third category, we have the root defilement, which is delusion. Yeah. From this then arise what? Wrong views. Yeah. As unenlightened beings, we have greed. There is greed, hatred, and delusion dormant in us and occasionally active. Yeah. But even as they are active, we may not actively act upon Yeah. But if you were to act upon it, then it develops further into this harmful, unwholesome mental faculties. So if you can avoid all this, then in this way you practice, plant the seed for happier rebirth. The reverse is true. If you were to do any of this, then you plant the seeds for lower realm rebirth, including the hellish state, yeah, reborn in hell, reborn in hungry ghosts, or reborn as an animal. Yeah. So where do you want to go today? Yeah. If let's say after SGC you have to take rebirth, where do you think you will go? Where do you think you will go? After SGC you'll go for Diamond Sutra class. Very smart. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But maybe before SGC class we go already, you know? Then how? In Buddhism there's all this teaching on rebirth. Yeah, at the core of it is the 12 links. Yeah, we have gone through the 12 links before as well. Interestingly, while rebirth is a core teaching in Buddhism, the final goal of the Buddhist practice is to be free of this cycle. Yeah, to be free of this cycle of birth and death. Yeah. So, the reason why I bring up the cancer and 3 months is we can learn about rebirth, we can learn about all these teachings, but how does that translate to our day-to-day, you know, living? Yeah. How does it translate to that? Because knowing about it is one thing, yeah, but does it translate to a difference? So you can think about how long have you been learning Dharma, whether with the SGC group or on your own or with other groups. Yeah, is there a difference? Yeah, is there a difference? It should translate to a difference. So, the last thing I want to touch on for today is someone is reborn here. Welcome to this world. The last thing I wanted to share with you all on this topic is if someone come to you and the person don't have a belief in rebirth, what would you do? The person asks you to prove to him or her rebirth. How would you respond to that?
Wait and see.
Sorry? Who?
Just ask him to wait and see.
Wait and see. That's interesting. Yeah. In a way,
rebirth.
Documentaries about rebirth. I think there's there's this scientist called is it Peter Ironson or something? Yeah. There are a number of Western researchers who have done a lot of research most of the time, it is where he go around the world interviewing young kids, yeah, who somehow have memory of incidences that they couldn't possibly have. Because as a young kid, you know, 4 or 5 years old or something, and yet they recount vivid details of certain experiences in the past that for many of them seem quite impossible to have that kind of knowledge. Yes. Then there's the hypnotherapy, the regression therapy. Yeah. So, has any of you tried that? I've heard quite a bit about that, huh? I haven't tried it before. Yeah. If any of you to try, you know, you all can come back and share. I'm not so sure about the mechanism or the validity. Yeah. So if it, huh?
There's this thing called like Ipanishi or what? Alaya. Like kind of supposed to follow us through different lines. Is that something that's that consciousness?
Yeah. Well, that is. No, don't have to guess. There is such a teaching. I actually covered that a few years back in one of the commentary. It's covered in the Yogacara school. Yeah, it's the Alaya consciousness. But it's not so. Yeah, because Alaya consciousness is always changing also. Yeah, it's impermanent also. So it's not a fixed entity that go and take rebirth. Yeah. It's more like a data store, so to speak. The trouble I find that for most Buddhists is whether you refer someone to look at some of the research, or you bring in the teachings, or even your own experience, I think for many people it's still hard to convince them. Yeah. For me personally, in the past, I try very hard to convince people about rebirth. These days, not so much. Yeah. Because to me, to understand rebirth or to know rebirth, well, it's not a trivial thing. Even more importantly, whether you can remember your past life or you can know your future life, I think most people cannot even handle their present life. Yeah. And it is the present life that we can, yeah. And it is this present life, and in fact, this present moment, that we can do our cultivation. We can only do cultivation now, not in the future life, not in the past life. Yeah. Any changes that we want to make can only be made now. Yeah. So over the years, I find myself less concerned with answering questions on rebirth. The Buddhist text does have various sutta about rebirth. I have my own reasons to believe in rebirth also. Yeah. But I don't say everybody must believe in it. I would go as far as to say, if you look at one of the sutta, Kalama Sutta, the Buddha even go as far as to tell the Kalamas, whether there's rebirth or not, acting wholesomely is still more beneficial. That even if there's no rebirth, today if you act in an unwholesome way, in a harmful way, you get yourself into trouble. You know, you don't need future life to be a problem. In this life, you're going to have problem already. Yeah. So to me, it's more important to focus in the present life and get it done right. Yeah. But if you are interested to know your past life and to verify the rebirth part, can come for meditation class. And really need to do a lot of meditation. Yeah. Then I think you would have an answer for this life and past and future life also. Oh. So rebirth. Rebirth in Buddhism is actually quite central and in a way core, yeah, from the 12 links. The teaching on the 12 links. It is describing how our cycle of birth and death take place and how we can actually put that to bring that to an end. Yeah. Maybe one of you can accompany them. Sense of youth. When we were that young, did you all think about rebirth? No. How about now? Do you all think about rebirth? In a way, every day we are getting reborn, you know? Yeah. Every moment we are getting reborn. Yeah. And in that way, we get a second chance. We don't have to wait for next life for a second chance. Maybe yesterday we didn't do what we wanted to do, or maybe we did what we maybe are regretful of. So that we can ask ourselves today, how do you want to live today? If we start every day in this way, I think our life will be very meaningful. Yeah. And when our day come to an end, we can also do a reflection and review how have we spent the day. Yes, you have a question? Any questions about rebirth? That's a good question. For unenlightened beings, where should we aim? For a start, we have to ask ourselves, do we want suffering or no suffering?
No suffering.
Okay. Then we should aim to be reborn as a human or heavenly being. Yeah, minimally. So how to get there? Just now mentioned 5 precepts and 10 wholesome deeds. Another way that is easier, do you want the easier way? Easier way is to attain sotapanna. The other one have 5 things, 10 things. This one just 1 thing. Yeah. If you go into detail, only 3 things. Remove sakya ditti, the wrong view, and then once you do that, your doubt is removed. Yeah. You don't have wrong attachment to the practices anymore. Yeah. So effectively, actually just 1 thing. Just remove the wrong view. Yeah. Then everything counting. No? Yeah. Once you attain sotapanna, no more rebirth in that way. And that's a serious thing. Okay, not a joke. So if you are not enlightened yet, getting enlightened anytime soon, more preferably to be reborn as a human or heavenly being. In the Buddha's teaching, there are 3 categories of merit that can assure you of a happier rebirth. Yeah. So the three practices, you all may want to take note. The first one is the easiest, the practice of giving. I'm saying this not for you all to give me. You can give anyone. Start off with your parents. Yeah. Of course, I have encountered some students who tell me that the father or the mother, yeah, retired, nothing better to do, always go to casino. Yeah. Then ask me, so Shifu, should I still give them pocket money? Yeah. So give with wisdom. If your family member or your parents have certain, you know, vices, then don't give them. Yeah. You know that you give them $50. Each $50 you give them, they spend $51 on alcohol. That means the next dollar also goes there. Then better not give them. Give them food instead. So first practice, giving. Second practice, samadhi. Yeah, the practice of meditation. Yeah. If you do that practice, it can result in happier rebirth also. Yeah, in this case, if you manage to reach first jhana and above, you get reborn in form realm and above. Yeah, even better. That is the third one. Second one is actually precepts. Yeah, so you have practice of generosity, practice of precepts, and practice of samadhi. Yeah. Again, the coverage is actually similar to five precepts and the 10 wholesome deeds, with the exception of the samadhi practice. Yeah. Okay? Hmm. You have a question earlier?
In regards to the six ranks, are they able to help each other, like passing on merits? Because of human ranks, we are able to help the animals and perhaps some of the hungry ghost ranks. But how about those who are in heaven ranks or those who are in the lower ranks? Are they able to help other ranks?
In a way, yes, but in a way, not so easy. For heavenly beings to help human realm, in the Buddha's time, there are a lot of suttas where the heavenly beings come to ask questions, to seek advice. I don't recall any suttas where the heavenly beings actually come and directly get involved with human affairs. Yeah, I don't recall any suttas having that. Having said that, there is a sutta in the Digha Nikaya where some of the heavenly beings from the 33 heaven and so on, they came down and they pledged support towards the Buddha and his disciples, and basically give the Buddha a name list and basically tell the Buddha, if any of your disciple is in danger, just call our name. Yeah. Very advanced technology. You don't need to have a handphone, don't have to upgrade. Just call the name and they will come. And in case if you are hassled by some spirits or whatever, you give the name, you call the name, page tung appear. Other than that, we see I don't recall any other references. It appears that most of the interaction between heavenly beings and the human realm is not what we usually think of. In part because of the difference in the time. So, for them to observe us, our life is super short. Yeah, and it's almost like they just observe us for a while, we die. Observe for a while, we die. So they it's like for us to observe the life cycle of a bacteria. Gone. You know? Yeah. So in the suttas, we don't see any references of heavenly beings having much interest. So So far, that's the yes. In the Jataka tales, the Buddha's past life. Yes, there's a few occasions, like where the Buddha was like one of the being and gave some teachings, right? Are there any cases where they physically help beings, such as?
There's one story I've read.
And took the woman to?
To a place of
safety. So maybe on occasion. Yeah. And perhaps linked to the Buddha as a Bodhisattva. Any other references where they help people in general? Seems far and few to come by. Yeah. So in future, if you all get reborn as heavenly being, you know, maybe you all can try. Come and... Yeah. But other than that, I see very little references. Yeah. I don't know whether it is simply because it was not a focal point of the teachings. Yeah. Because even in that particular Jataka, there was some teaching point and not simply about the heavenly being coming. Was the focus of that Jataka about heavenly beings should go and help? No, right? Yeah. So even in that case, it was more like a incidental thing. Yeah, there's some other teaching point involved. So I don't know whether it is simply because most of these interactions don't serve as teaching points, so it doesn't come up. Yeah, it's like just because you all are not mentioned in the sutta doesn't mean you all don't exist, ma. Correct? Yeah. So so far, few references. Yeah. But with regards to your question about how we can help other beings, when we do dedication of merits, it is not so much that we directly transfer our merits to them. Yeah, there are a few ways from the different teachings where we can benefit other beings. So one way is an open invitation to beings to rejoice in the wholesome act. And by rejoicing in it, they are generating wholesome karma themselves. So that's the first way. Second way is to dedicate this wholesome act, yeah, the results of that wholesome act, to dedicate it to benefiting somebody in future. Meaning that it will still happen to you, you are still the recipient, but in future when you receive or experience that ripening, yeah, you will have that, in a way, that impulse to use it in a certain way. Yeah, so it's still you receiving and then you using it to help. Yeah. So it's not direct transfer also. If direct transfer is possible, then the Buddha should just transfer his unlimited account to all of us. Then we just sit around. Yeah.
For the lower realms, are they able to do the same
to others? For lower realms, yes and no. Again, if we look at Jataka, the Buddha, when he was an animal, he helped other animals. Yeah. But again, that's more the exception than the rule. Yeah. However, today when you look at the world, you see a lot of YouTube videos on animals helping one another. Yeah. So perhaps it's not as uncommon as we think. Perhaps it's because our our exposure to the animal kingdom, yeah, is through the narrow lenses of documentaries. You know, where the documentaries tend to focus on the predator la, the prey la, yeah, and the life cycle mating. Quack, 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 aw, you know. But with, you know, with YouTube and stuff, we get to see the other side. Yeah.
So how about lower than animal
realms? Lower than animal realms. Mm. Hell beings in general don't have the capacity to do that. But in the Earthstone Bodhisattva teachings, when the Bodhisattva goes to help beings in hell, they don't appear there as a Bodhisattva, wow, full glory. No, no. They actually appear as a hell being. Yeah. So imagine if you are a hell being and you are experiencing the torment. Then the description I heard from a Dhamma brother was this, very touching. Imagine you are experiencing the torment, the suffering, and then for countless years, yeah, eons, it has been happening. Wow, gonna whack, whack, whack. Then one day, and everybody is like running for their life, trying to escape. Then one day, one guy push you away to receive it for you. Can you imagine that? Like, just imagine NS. Yeah. You're being tekan. Then suddenly someone say, "Sir, punish me instead." Yeah, of course, in real life, we let siao it's called. Yeah, but it is said that it is in this way that Bodhisattvas in the hell realm actually reach out to other sentient beings, willingly go and take on the suffering. And in that split moment, it touches the other being. And when that being experiences that compassion from the other person, it also kindles the compassion in them. And in that split moment, if that connection with compassion is strong enough, they immediately get reborn in a higher state. Yeah. In Buddhism, the so-called liberation of beings in the lower realm, hell realm, and hungry ghost realms happens in this way. Not through some forceful means, wah, pull you out, but actually inducing the kindness and compassion in them. The trouble with us is, even as a human, in a human realm, how many of us willingly go and take on suffering for others? Yeah. If let's say something go wrong, how many of us knowingly, we didn't do it knowingly, siwa la. Yeah, I want to scold me. Few of us, not that we are evil people, but we may even feel like, you know what, the person did wrongly what? So should get scolded ma? Why should I get scolded instead? Yeah. So few would do that. Mm. So for those who willingly do that, we give them a special name, Bodhisattvas. Any other questions about rebirth?
I'm curious about Amitabha Buddha land.
Mm. What is the question?
Is it easier for all of us to aspire to be reborn there? Is it like safer?
That's usually the selling point, to put it bluntly. Imagine if you can go to, you can get reborn in a place that is like heavenly realm, but no risk of a bad rebirth after that. And over there, you don't just enjoy yourself, you have all the resources, the best faculty members. The best school, all the facilities available for you to further your study and practice on the Bodhisattva path. Mm. it's like the 直通车, yeah. So direct express, at the end of the whole journey, you are confirmed to be a Buddha. So that would be wonderful, isn't it? So I think in the Lotus Sutra, there's this notion of, where if you can make the aspiration, most people think of it as, oh, you make an aspiration to be reborn in such a place, then that's it. But that aspiration actually includes aspiring to take on the whole path of the Bodhisattva practice to attain Buddhahood. Yeah. So, actually, what's your question?
Because you're talking about rebirth, right?
Yes.
We won't know how much karma that we have accumulated. So what if, we don't get reborn in heavenly realms, but as human beings, so is it better if all of us aspire to reborn in Buddha land?
Yes. So, I'll give you an example, okay? Actually, it's just like telling you, let's say, imagine we are all in secondary school, okay? And then we are studying for O levels. And when you go to school, there are some kids who, don't want to study lah. Then sometimes your school don't have aircon lah. Got this, got that, So someone kind of tell you, hey, not easy to study here, right? Yeah, not easy. Why don't you aspire to be in a school that is, like that. Then you can study very well, no? And at the end, you confirm get degree. Really? Yeah. But first, you must really make a strong aspiration to study. In many ways, it's similar to this. Yeah.
It's kind of, you also put in that amount of effort there.
Yes.
To score the PSL, you score 258.
Yes.
Yeah, you will get to higher ranks and then.
Yes. Yeah. I recently, during one of the walk, one of the students came up to me. If I'm not wrong, she's actually a friend from the university. Or at least I seem to have known her from the Buddhist Society last time. So she was sharing with me about the Pure Land also. But she's also very enthusiastic and very eager. And so she started off asking me, Sifu, are you happy? I'm like, I think so. And then her follow-up question, she said she observed that there are many Buddhists who learn a lot of teachings, a lot of practice and that, but are not happy. And then she said she observed this person, that person, like this. Right? Then she said, why learn so much things? In the end, still not happy. Might as well just 一心念佛, just practice chanting Buddha's name, then very easy one. Then can be happy. So she said that she attended this series, this class on the Pure Land practice somewhere and so on. Then later I asked her, so are you familiar with the Jing Tu Wu Jing? Then she said, small like that. And I'm like, oh. In the Pure Land schools, there's these five major teachings, the sutras and commentaries that one should familiarize yourself with. And it turned out that she haven't started on that. So I said, okay, then at least maybe you may be familiar with Guan Wu Liang Shou Jing. Then, someone like that. Then I'm like, okay. Because I was mentioning about how It's good to do the practice of chanting Buddha's name, but according to the sutra, yeah, 大本无量寿经, there's this chapter on the 九品往生章, a chapter on the 9 class categories of rebirth. And those who practice just 持名念佛 can be reborn there even if there's heavy karma. Yeah, but that's the lowest of the low category. Of the 9 category is the lowest. But she's also not familiar with that one. So I thought, okay, well, at least you should be familiar with Mi Tuo Jing, right? Then she's like, oh. I'm like, huh? So it got me thinking, how is she so enthusiastic about Pure Land practice when she haven't even encountered any of this sutra? So it turned out that she went for one of the introductory class on Pure Land, yeah, Pure Land practice. I think it's wonderful that the speaker managed to convince a person to be so into without knowing any of the teachings. So into that she even come to a sifu, come to a monk to try to sell it to me, you know. in a way. I don't say it's a bad intention, but I was just like, between the two of us, I seem to know more about Pure Land practice than, yeah. I don't say it's bad to do Pure Land practice. And while I think that the speaker must have done a very good job, but I can't help but feel that it may be an over enthusiasm for the attendees that has little ground, yeah, and they may end up being surprised later, yeah.
There are three focus, sing, yuan, sing. So I think probably stronger focus on the sing, but there's the fire and then the sing. So I suppose it's aligned with what you say, because the sing is the practice of all those wholesome things that accumulate merits.
Yeah.
Like what you say, to have enough merits.
Yes. So if you encounter anyone who is interested, do remind them of the full course of practice. Yeah. Otherwise, they take the flyer and run with it. Yeah. Last question.
Sorry. If we gain enough merits, are we able to choose which one?
Oh, yes. In one of the sutta, in a few sutta actually, in the Pali Canon. Most interesting. The Buddha said that if a person observes the 8 precepts, and he can, if he wish, make an aspiration to be reborn in the various realms. But aspiration is one thing. It must be supported by your practice. So a person may observe the 8 precepts and aspire to be reborn in, let's say, one of the sensual desire realm, and okay, no problem. But if you don't meditate and you aspire to be reborn in the form realm, sorry, cannot. It's not simply by merit. Because the 8 precepts merit only guarantee you human and heavenly rebirth in the sensual desire realm, not covering the form realm and formless realm. For form and formless realm, you need the corresponding merit through the cultivation of samadhi. So yes, as a general rule, yes. Yeah, but you need to have the supporting one. So if any of you have the wish to be reborn in, let's say, ghost realm or hell realm, you need to have the supporting merit also, or demerit in this case. I don't think that was your intent. Corresponding to the realm, you need the corresponding merit. Oh, okay? Does that answer your question?
That means if a human has gained so much merit that he can go to the heaven realm, can he choose to go back to the human realm?
Can he choose to be reborn in the human realm? I think downward choice maybe still can. Yeah. There are various masters who aspire to be reborn as human beings instead of being reborn in the heavenly realm. Let me wrap up the session with one interesting sutta. There was this monk who was practicing, then one day he passed away. And when he was reborn in the heavenly realm. And the heavenly beings welcomed him, you know, give him orientation and wanted to start to give him entertainment and enjoyment. But he still remembered his past life. And when he was there, he was like, wait, what am I doing here? This is not what I want. And the heavenly beings told him, no, you are not a monk anymore. Now you are a heavenly being. Enjoy. And he said, no, I am supposed to strive towards enlightenment. This is not what I want. Yeah. So he left that heavenly realm and seek out the Buddha as soon as he can. Yeah. And then he went to see the Buddha and continue his practice. Two things. As a result of that, the 500 heavenly nymphs followed him, because he's the key one in that particular sector. So they all follow him. And because they all follow him, they also follow him to go and learn practice. And all of them attain to enlightenment. So even if you are reborn in the heavenly realm, you can still practice. But for rebirth, if you have accumulated certain merits, depending on how strong your mental aspiration is, you may not necessarily get to choose also. Yeah. In a way, when we choose, it is when we are acting. Yeah. Our decision is made through our actions. Yeah. Not just our thoughts. Yeah. But if our thoughts is consistent, then that decides also. Okay? Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Lao. Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Lao. Yuan Da Zhi Hui Zhen Ming Liao. Shi Shi Chang Xing Pu Sa Dao. Amitabha Phật. 起立。